Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over a long period of time, we're considering the subject of scriptural marriage and family preparation. This may seem like a strange subject for radio series, but it's a very important subject for our day. And Christians who are listening to the program, not because of me, but because of the scriptural teaching involved, need to be aware of some of the dangers they face in the marriage relationship. The last message had to do with the courtship relationship between two young people who are planning to get married, who are seeking God's will in getting married. And I'm saying this for the sake of parents as well, because we parents have a special responsibility in counseling our young people and to see that they go in the right direction and that their lives do not veer off in any wrong direction, which may lead them to moral tragedy, moral failure. And so I'm saying this both for the benefit of parents and young people who may be seeking God's will for their lives. Now, in the last message, we thought in terms of scriptural principles. We took a number of scripture passages from the New Testament that dealt, we believe, with the marriage relationship and with preparing for marriage. And we took these principles and we went through these passages one by one to consider what is to be our approach to the courtship relationship and to marriage itself. Now, in this message, I want to speak of some of the dangers that we see in a courtship relationship. There is when two young people are very interested in each other. That's what we mean by courtship. They're very interested in each other. They are seeking God's will for their lives. We assume, of course, that both of them are Christians. They're not violating the principle in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 that we're not to marry unsaved people. Both of them are Christians. It still does not mean that they belong together. And so I want to consider some of the dangers to be recognized in a courtship relationship. First of all, there is a danger of two Christian young people who are courting each other, but who are not spiritually in the right relationship with the Lord themselves. In other words, they may be Christians, but they're not spiritual Christians. And this is a danger, and it's a danger we need to recognize. First of all, they may have worldly ideas, are under worldly influences, and have worldly habits ruling their lives. And this is a great danger because when we are living in the world, it means we're not listening to the voice of God, we're not following His will, we're not even close enough to Him to even know His will. And so this danger is one that's very common today. Young people who have these worldly ideas have worldly influences in their lives and they have worldly habits. Now this very often can lead to very unscriptural and very impure relationships between Christian young people. Even Christians can go astray. They can come into moral failure. They can come into moral disaster, in fact, even before they ever get married. And then, of course, these young people are also going to be tempted to follow a worldly approach in their courtship relationship, with emphasis upon fleshly desires and fleshly practices. The flesh is going to rule, or the spirit is going to rule. And young people decide which rule they're going to accept. It'll either be the fleshly rule, or it'll be the spiritual rule. And so when young people are approaching a marriage relationship, and they're just in the courtship relationship, we call it, where they're just seeking God's will and preparing for the future, they're going to have to decide which role they're going to follow and which rule they're going to follow, whether it's going to be the fleshly one or the spiritual one. And the fleshly approach is going to lead to places of darkness, worldly companions, worldly activities, and other things that are going to be of great temptation to them. We Christians have to guard ourselves all the time, because Satan is a very, very clever enemy of ours. In other words, he doesn't appear like an enemy. He seems to even be a friend sometimes because he's helping us satisfy our own fleshly desires. And then, of course, these young people who are not very spiritual lack even the spiritual ability to seek and find the will of God. Because they have no spiritual goals, they're not filled with spiritual intentions in their relationship, and so they lack the ability to seek and define God's will for their lives and their plans. And how dangerous this can be. They don't even know what they're seeking in the future. Many times we come to the marriage ceremony, and in the marriage vows, we express with many words our intentions for a marriage, but these are not really the intentions of our hearts. In other words, in our hearts, we have other intentions and other goals. No matter what we say in a marriage ceremony, the main thing as far as God is concerned is what are the intentions and the plans of our hearts. And young people discover this very early in their relationship with each other. Even when they're first beginning as friends to seek God's will, they discover what their real intentions and their real goals are. And so this is the first danger. They are not in the right relationship with the Lord, and they're incapable of really finding God's will for their lives. The second danger is young people who manifest a lack of patience and faith in waiting on God for His will for their lives. And this leads to hasty and ill-advised decisions. I can remember when I went to the mission field as a missionary in 1953. I was a single missionary. I had broken up with a young woman there in the United States, and I respect her, and I respected her even then, but we were not suited for each other. And there was a danger that we were going to go ahead and get married, but that she would not be willing to go to the mission field with me. And so we decided that we simply did not belong together, and we broke up. I remember going out to the Philippines in 1953 as a missionary, single. I was out there for 5 years. The last year I was appointed the head of the seminary there in Manila, the Baptist Bible Seminary of Manila. And I remember I had to stay that extra year before I could finally go home. But I was waiting on God. I was afraid of making a wrong decision. And so I was out there single. I was a bit older than many young people who get married today. But God led me on my first furlough in 1958 to the church secretary of a man named Dr. Jeremiah. Dr. Jeremiah, his son Dave now, of course, is a radio pastor. And his father was my pastor who had ordained me, and I was sent out to the mission field under his pastor. And so I met his church secretary, and we were married in just less than a year. And I remember how God led us together. It was the will of God for us. And I look back now and thank God that I was not uneasy, in other words, with waiting on the will of God for my life. And so this is very important also. And then another problem with young people is they have a serious lack of compatibility in one or more areas of their lives. In other words, they never will really fit together. Now, once people get married and they face the strains of incompatibility, and incompatibility will bring strains in a marriage, they're not to break up their marriage once they are married. They are to work out these problems before God and in a very humble and submissive way, submit their lives to God so that God will help them with the strains. But it's important for young people who are not yet married to recognize the things that may make them have a life of strain and conflict in a marriage relationship if they go through with it. Now, for instance, sometimes people come from different cultural backgrounds. There's nothing wrong with this. Here on the island of Guam and throughout the Mariana Islands, there are many, many different cultures, and people get married with people of different cultural backgrounds. But they need to guard whether or not these different cultural backgrounds are going to cause great strain in their marriage relationship, and whether even these different cultural backgrounds might be the means of breaking up their marriages. And then, of course, another problem would be that they also have different family backgrounds. In other words, in different societies, family customs are different. Someone said, when you marry someone from our society, you marry the whole family. Now, in America, we don't practice it like this. Back on the mainland of America, we don't practice it like this. In other words, we follow more the leave and cleave principle of the scriptures, where when you get married, you leave your family and you're married to that one and you cleave to that one. Now, I do respect very, very close marriage relationships and family relationships. I respect this very highly. We worked in the Philippines for many, many years. My wife and I still go back there very frequently. And so I respect the Philippine culture and the very close family relationships. But sometimes this can be a problem where families are interfering in the marriage relationship. They're interfering with the raising of children and so forth. And so this could be a great, great problem. And then you find people from different social circles and different social relationships. One may be from a very poor family. One may be from a very rich family. There is danger, of course, that people may have the wrong motives in getting married. They may marry only for money. They may marry for position. If I come from a poor family, I may want someone who has money, who can give me everything I want, everything I didn't have in my own family. And this is the wrong reason to get married. This idea of being from different social circles is not wrong in itself, but it can be a problem if we marry for the wrong reasons. And then, of course, people also have different personalities and different natures. These may be in great conflict with each other when they have different natures and different personalities, and especially if two people are both very strong-minded people. If they are people who are going to be strong-willed, unwilling to yield, and of course in the marriage relationship, there has to be some yielding. First of all, the wife is to be in submission to her husband. It's not wrong to have a strong personality. When you marry the wrong person, one with whose personality you would not look up to, whose nature you would not look up to as a leader in your home, it can be a very, very great problem. So this problem of strong personalities and strong natures can even break up a marriage relationship. And then also they may have different life goals. Their life goals and their purposes in life may not be the same. And this can also be a great danger. One has a goal, for instance, if you take it on a spiritual level, of following the Lord with all his heart or all her heart, but the other one may not have this goal. One may have the goal of serving God in some very important way, perhaps as a pastor, as a missionary, whatever it might be. The other one may not have such a goal in life. In fact, their goals may be altogether different from this. And so this can be not only a source of strain, but it can be an area of conflict in a marriage relationship. When a person feels that the one they have married has taken them away from the goals that God had given them and the purposes in life that God had given them. Then one other thing I want to deal with, and that has to do with the idea of different standards of morals and conduct. Different standards of morals and conducts. One may be a very spiritual Christian, the other a very fleshly person. One may be a person who is devoted and committed to one person in their life. The other one may not be so completely devoted to one person. For instance, a person who's had many girlfriends or many boyfriends may be the kind of a person who is always going to be looking for outside interests, even in a marriage relationship. And I want to say this very advisedly and very carefully. This may not necessarily be true. They may absolutely commit themselves to one partner in a marriage, but it also may be a temptation to them if they're not careful. And so these people who may have different morals and conduct in their lives, different standards of morals and conduct, these people may not be really suited for each other. Now, I want to continue this in my next message, but I want to leave with you some of the warnings and some of these things that need to be considered as young people consider a future marriage partner. They do not want conflict. They do not want tension in their marriages. They want happy, contented, unified marriages where they have unity and harmony with each other. And so that is the emphasis I want to leave before you in this message. And that is that when we see areas where we differ so greatly, it should be like a warning signal to us that we may not belong together. It is better to break up and to have the grief of breaking up a relationship than to go into marriage and find that it causes trouble. So I want to leave these with you. May the Lord help you to find God's will in your lives as young people. And you as parents, may the Lord help you to advise your young people and to guard them against some of these things they may face in the future. May the Lord bless you, each one.